What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
A message to Dan Le Batard. I want to beef with him for a second. Our money better be fucking on time, Dan.
There you
go. It better be on fucking time.
Welcome back, Unplugged. Our weekly look around. What's going on? What's going on out there in sports? What's going on out there in the world? Jack. Just got back from Oak Hill, Hall of Fame, jersey retirement. Had some of the other homies up there. My guy, Steve Blake, Brandon Jennings, Quinn Cook, Jeff McGinnis, to name a few. Coach Steve Smith. How was it?
Shout out KD too as well. KD was a part of that class. He just didn't graduate from Oak Hill, but he still is in the Hall of Fame. It's just an honor, man. That's something I wanted. You know what I mean? I was glad we was able to, Dylan Isaacs was able to come down there and grab some footage and document this whole thing. It was special to be back. It was my first time being back since I graduated. So a lot of memories, great times. Good to see Coach and his wife and their family. And getting my jersey retired there was something I really wanted. So now I feel at peace with basketball.
I love it. Congratulations. What about the white guy that gave you guys moonshine and mushroom weed? Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Shout out to the homie Chad, man. We're going to get back out there and rock with Chad. He's a fishing guy, trout and big mouth bass. He does a fishing guy, and he has a big old house and a lot of land on top of the hill where he rents his house out as an Airbnb, and he does a lot of great things. But we met him and had a couple drinks with him. He's a big fan, been watching Oak Hill for a while. And he said he'll meet us when we get done. You know, come back and have some shrooms for us and some moonshine and some weed. So I'm like, cool. You know, I like a little moonshine. I'm from the country. You know, moonshine. His moonshine was A1. You know, of course, I smoke weed. I dabble in the shrooms, the gummy shrooms. But it kind of this was different, Matt. When he handed us the moonshine, bam. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to do two more handing off. He's going to hand off the weed, then hand off the shrooms. Well, I was wrong.
No, sir.
He handed off one bag, and he had the stems of the weed. I mean, if the shrooms grown in the weed, said you got to smoke them. No, sir.
Ooh,
no, sir.
Scared?
No, I wasn't scared. I wasn't doing it.
I hit it one time just to see where it takes me. I wouldn't smoke a whole joint, but I hit it one time to see where it takes me.
I didn't know that you can do that, or they go together like that.
I never heard of it either. It can't be no worse than the butt naked you did that one time.
Yeah, I know. So if the mushroom stemming weed ain't gonna have me tripping like the sherm had me, then I might try it.
Nah, I think you'll be all right. But you said you ain't been the same since. You still got that little nervous twitch. Anyway, you guys can check out Jack's journey coming out on All the Smoke Productions YouTube. So let's show some little behind a BTS of that. Also, Jack, urban legend or not? Rumor has it, urban legend has it, that you're the only player in Oak Hill history who had on the road to room with the coach.
That's fucked up, Dylan. Yeah, man. I'm the only player. You know what? That's cool. I was writing letters home, so I felt like I was in jail. So I was trying to escape any chance I got, bro. Yeah, we went on the road, man. Coach Price had to make sure he put his bed in front of the door and all shit. That, bro. I was a nuisance.
Oh, that's funny. You missed. We missed you out here in LA at the.
Yeah, how was your weekend, the, man?
Man, we had a great.
Hey, I couldn't beat up, bro.
Great house. Yeah, we got it in. The crew was there. We ate good. We smoked good. We took some gummies. They weren't intertwined.
They weren't intertwined.
We had a really good time. Nah, they weren't intertwined. We wasn't playing with that. We had a good time, man, and ended up eating some good dinner. Everyone had a good time. Jelani was there. We got it in, so we had a good time.
Who was DJing?
Doing show love. DJ Quick. So it was another dude, and I forgot his name. I feel bad, but DJ Quick came because I just wanted Quick to come chill. So he, you know, he's there, and he starts kind of like, so MB, you think I can get on? You think I can DJ? I'm like, shit, you want a DJ? I wanted you to just come chill. He's like, nah, hell no, I want to get on the thing. So he gets up, and we're about to set up, and the motherfucker spills his drink on the mixer and fries it.
Wow.
So he ended up, we got something else to replace it, and he did one live song and then a couple songs, and then he was chilling. But that shit, we had a good time, man.
I'll be there for the big day. I ain't going to miss that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that was just a tune-up. Man, big shout out to our brother Pat McAfee, man, who obviously came through and blessed us for All Star and Indy. You know, you've known him for a while. I've been a fan of him for a while, but his audience was heavily involved. He's got a cult following, and I love it. You know, they were in the comments, and he was in the comments, and just great feedback with our fans. So, hey, man, shout out to his fans because hopefully some of them are now our fans.
Yeah, he sent me a nice message too, man. Appreciating us for having us on the show. He said he enjoyed himself. Probably one of the best interviews he had. So
yeah, dope. Glad that worked out. Moving on. Phil Jackson, the Zen master, used to have a saying about the 40-20 rule. And we're about the 60-game mark of the season. And to be considered a true contender, he felt like you had to have 40 wins before you had 20 losses. And to back that up, the last 27 out of 30 NBA champions have lived up to that. Only three haven't. The Pistons. So the Pistons, the Heat, and the Bucks. Right now, currently, there's four teams that fit that build. Denver, Boston, OKC, and Minnesota. Jack, thoughts on the 40-20? And do you see any of those four teams winning it? And is anyone left off who's not in the 40-20?
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. He got a point. I mean, look at those teams. Denver definitely have a chance to win it. Boston, for sure. OKC is the best team in the West right now. Minnesota's the second or third. So, all those teams definitely have a great chance. So, it makes a lot of sense what Phil Jackson talking about. If I had to throw one more team in that mat, for me, I think it would be the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. Dark horse. Yeah, they're not even in the playoff picture right now, I think. But yeah, I ain't mad at that.
Yeah,
I feel like they're built for the playoffs. I would probably throw the Clippers in that mix, although they're 5-5 in their last 10. They've struggled a little bit, but they've been the hottest team in basketball since that Harden trade. And then possibly maybe Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference, if they can kind of find their rhythm and get hot, and Doc can help get them to the promised land. But, yeah, I'm definitely not mad at that. I picked the Clippers to win it all, but Boston's looking tough, and then you can't rule out you got to beat the champs to become the champs. So Denver's right in that mix. It'll be interesting to see what OKC and Minnesota could do. They're both young teams, so to me they still got to prove it, but definitely having a great season so far. There was an incident, Jack. Jalen Green and Bradley Beal. And I was getting tagged all weekend. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And it was, you know, Bradley Beal faked the ball in Jalen Green's face. But he actually, like, hit him a little bit with the ball. Like, it was a love tap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a love tap. But thoughts of just those two going back. You know, obviously Jalen Green's a young, hungry dog. Bradley Beal's a proven killer in this league. Thoughts about that, and so you get a chance to see it?
Man, it was cute. I mean, it was cute. I knew it wasn't going to be no hands thrown, so. Yeah, it was cute. It wasn't as intense as you and Kobe's. I know
once
you.
Once I told him, I would have liked. Yeah,
that shit could have cleared the bench.
If I would have really hit him, that shit would have probably broke his nose because I put that shit hard. But I like the competitiveness. Again, I'm a fan of Jalen Green. I think he's super talented. Obviously, Bradley Beal's been injured, but he's proven what he means to this game, what he could do to this game. But I just like the back and forth because there's so much buddy ball out there these days. I like when there's a little bit of fight. Between the guys. Brian Windhorst, someone who I actually like. I used to work with over at ESPN. I wasn't a fan of what he said, but what he says, if AI were to play today, he'd be heavily criticized. He played a lot of minutes and chucked up a lot of shots. That would not fly today. Crazy statement, but I'm going to let you have that one first.
Well, Brian, I mean, have fun because – the days of people looking at you and listening to you talk about sports, it really ain't adding up, okay? I'm talking about AI be heavily criticized while you just sitting there heavily. Look, bro, we not doing that, okay, Brian?
Yeah, and again, I like Wendy. I just didn't like this comment, you know.
Ain't the first time he said some off-the-wall-ass shit like he got 15, 20 rebounds a game.
Yeah, but I mean, T-Mac, Vince, Paul Pierce, Gilbert, all these guys, you know, shot low 40s back then. He was talking about his shooting percentage. I also think the defense was a little bit more physical back then. But, I mean, I think if AI played today, he would be probably arguably, you know, up there with LeBron as one of the biggest players in the world because of his ability to cross over on and off the court, what he meant to culture, who he is, what he stands on. So, definitely didn't agree with that. But, hey, I guess everyone's entitled to their opinion. Jack, boxing, Canelo, Benavidez. Canelo has turned down a 92-8 split, which would mean Canelo would got 92% of the purse. Benavidez would only got 8, and Canelo denies that. Is he running, Jack?
I mean, you know, that's basically how it looks to everybody. Like, you got to give Canelo his credit. He's been fighting for a long time. He's damn near fought everybody.
Definitely one of the greatest.
You know what I'm saying? So definitely one of the greatest. He has the right to choose who he want to fight and direct his career the way he wants to and fight who he wants, right? And he wants to fight a Mexican fighter because he says he wants to respect Mexican fighters and bring some of that revenue to Mexico and all that. And we all get all that. But Benavidez is probably the biggest Mexican fighter next to Canelo. Mm. So why wouldn't you fight him? Mm-hmm. So to the fans, Matt, when Benavidez is willing to take $5 million to your $55 million just to fight you and beat you because he says that he know the money will come after. Mm-hmm. To the fans, yeah, he's running from him. But to a person like me, who I love Benavidez, I'm good friends with his pops, I want to see him fight Canelo. But if Canelo don't fight him, I don't lose no respect for Canelo because he has earned the right to call his own shots.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. He's been in the game for a long time. But, you know, we all always want to see these big fights, but to turn down a 92-8, I don't know if there's any, I mean, what 95-5? I mean, shit. But I mean, what else is there? So it's definitely not about the money. I don't think for Canelo either. He got so much money. So we'll see if that eventually happens. Man, I want to send out, you know, thoughts and prayers to Ryan Garcia. He just released a video as we were coming on air talking about he's okay, but there's some shit going on where he's locked out of his phone, locked out of his IG, his bank account, his credit cards are frozen. So somebody's over here fucking with him. But Jack, I don't know if any of this, you know, it's hard to say. Is this a play to bring attention to the fight? Is it funny business? Is it real? Like, we don't know. Again, we don't want to make any accusations because all this is alleged. But you know, what are your thoughts when you hear obviously he's supposed to be fighting Haney soon? Thoughts on this situation with Ryan Garcia?
To me, I've met Ryan. He's a good, you know, we got a chance to interview him and spend some time with him. Ryan's a good kid, man. And he's going to be a superstar and a megastar, you know, to go on for a long time. I think Ryan is going to have 2 or 3 more fights and become a superstar as far as acting or something like that on TV. I don't think he's going to fight for too long, but I actually think he's more scared of this fight than he was with Tank. But the simple fact that, yeah, you know, you're going into a situation with Tank where you're the bigger fighter. And if you know anything about boxing, the way he came out confident. He really felt like he was going to beat Tank, you know what I'm saying, because he was the bigger fighter. You're not the bigger fighter no more. And you know what Devin Haney, and you know how good Devin Haney has gotten. And I honestly think everything that's spiraling down, that's happening right now with him, is because he's worried about this fight. He's scared of Devin Haney. I don't think all this stuff is coming from outside. Nothing, Matt. He know he didn't sign the contract to fight somebody, and he's going to get his ass whipped.
Ooh, tough. I mean, the pops has been going at it too. I guess Garcia's pop says something out of pocket to Haney's dad. I guess Haney's dad was just on "It Is What It Is" with Cam and Mace. Got to make sure we check that out. But yeah, it's going to be a good fight, man. It's definitely going to be a good fight. I mean, it could be the Floyd Mayweather, Jake Paul playbook, you know, where you're just stirring up, you know, some shit before the fight to get more eyeballs. But I agree.
Nah, it don't look like it, Matt. This shit look real. This shit, something wrong with Ryan tripping. Yeah, Ryan tripping.
Well, man, we're definitely sending prayers out to him, man. Hopes he's able to get through this and lock back in on the fight.
Yeah, definitely rooting for him.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper, wear it like no one else.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, now, Jack, we want to welcome one of our brethren from the Meadowlark family, former ESPN analyst Pablo Torre. Thank you for taking time. He's the host of Pablo Torre Finds Out. Also, I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but you're a cannabis consumer and you enjoy partaking in cannabis at times.
I have the argument, guys. Thank you for having me. I have the argument that I'm ready to make that New York is now the most weed-friendly state in the union.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And I live that experiment every day.
I mean, I mean, we're going to have to battle this. I'm taking walks down the street smoking joints in Cali, and they're not saying nothing. So I don't know.
Well, we let me tell you, I'm going to tell both of you, I've been in Atlanta since 2023, and it's been legal. We've been smoking in restaurants since then, so I don't know what y'all talk about.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone in the restaurant actually, but New York
this feels
has
like an episode of my show that I need to litigate.
For real, yeah.
All I know is that we got bodegas here that sell weed. And thanks. Growing up in the city, this feels like literally a dream journal entry that I had once. Like one day, this would be the case. And now it's real. So until all three of us get arrested for various things that we've just said and implied, we can continue the debate. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, well, recently, you know, you shoot a show about four times a week where you go down rabbit holes and find out interesting things and report on interesting things. One thing that came to our team's attention was a former scorekeeper from the Vancouver Grizzlies who admits they were juicing the stats in the 90s. Talk to us about that interview, what you took away from it, and was it really that, was it the norm back then?
Yeah. This is just one of the craziest stories that I've ever worked on. And so I got to shout out Tom Haberstroh, who's the correspondent we had on this piece, because Tom did the interviews, did the data analysis, and I had the reaction that I think a normal person would have, which is, I cannot fucking believe that this went on like this. And so the story is about a guy who posted on a message board back in now years and years ago that he was juicing stats. Remember that? There's a famous game. He worked for the Vancouver Grizzlies as a scorekeeper, but he was a Laker fan. And I don't know if you guys remember the Nick Van Exel 23 assist game from back in the day. So Van Exel had 23 assists. And this guy posted on a message board anonymously. His name was Alex from the Navy. That was his username. He said, I'm the guy responsible. Van Exel did not actually have 23 assists. I'm the guy who boosted the stats. I invented many of those assists. And so this became a story on the internet at that point. And what Tom and I did was go and figure out like who Alex from the Navy actually was and what his whole deal in reality was. And it turns out that Alex from the Navy was a real person. He was a real guy. His name was Alex Rucker. We revealed in the episode. And if the name Alex Rucker rings any sort of a bell, it's because this man went from scorekeeper to the actual Navy, but then he went on to become the executive vice president of basketball operations of the Philadelphia 76ers under Brian Colangelo.
Wow.
And so that guy is the same guy. I lead our discussion with that because what he confesses to, what you asked about, Matt, was how prevalent was this? He says it happened everywhere in the 90s because he was a 19-year-old dude who was given the power to basically track NBA history. So I'm curious if this is surprising to you guys that one guy had this kind of a power in the first place.
I don't, and I think I'll take this first. It doesn't surprise me. You know, you look at the refereeing situation where they only try to say it was one person, but you know, a lot of guys that played in the league would like to say that's some bullshit. And then you look at this, and it makes sense. I mean, not it makes sense, but I understand it. I mean, it reminds me of when my high school coach used to give me $5 and let me do my stats in high school. You know, I'd watch the film, and I'd add three or four rebounds here, a couple assists here, a block or two here, and it's just like I got the $5 for lunch, and I was cool. So this is crazy to hear, and if it is true or it is true, I wonder, like, who benefited the most? You know, obviously, I didn't get to see the whole interview, but it was obviously, you know, this is entertainment, and they want the stars to be stars, and that one 9 assists or 9 rebound looks a lot better if it says 10, you know what I mean, especially for the particular star. So I just wonder, as a fan of the game in the 90s and someone who went in the early 2000s, like, who benefited the most from those, you know, from juicing the stats, would they say?
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. There was so much politics in the game and so much bullshit in the game. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised they was boosting stats. I'm not surprised they wasn't giving people stats. Shit, I'm not surprised at anything that you tell me about the league today. Because I tell you, as time goes on, you're going to be hearing more and more bullshit, just like you heard about the shit about the league trying to downplay the big three. So you're going to continue to hear more and more shit. Trust me.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I wasn't a guy who smelled bullshit whenever I came around the game, right? Like, you guys have an internal perspective, a cynicism, because you guys have seen some things. I just feel naive, because what this guy was saying was he got trained to be a scorekeeper. He went to this big training that the NBA held, and the examples he was taught as to like what's an assist, right? So what we're really talking about here are numbers, statistics that are up for human interpretation. So that means assists, that means blocks, that means steals. And so let's just talk about those numbers. And so with the assists, what he was saying to Tom was he was shown a video of John Stockton. And it was one of those plays where, like, the assist is made, quote unquote, but it's like far more time passing between the assist that they want the scorekeepers to give out and the actual basket. And the explanation told to them was, this is John Stockton. This is a star. Like, it's entertainment. Like, we need to get our stars to be valued and treated as such. And so what Matt just said about the round numbers is 100% apparently part of the thinking here, that John Stockton is a guy who's famous for assists. We got to give John Stockton to Karl Malone that assist, even though there were a couple dribbles and a couple more seconds passing in between, which is just wild to me.
Now, that's definitely interesting. And you know, like Jack said, to be able to pull the sheet down and kind of see the inner workings, I think it's all mafia. So there ain't no telling what was going on.
Well, listen. I cannot confirm or deny the family, the familia part of this. But I'll answer your question about who benefited the most, right? And so think about it through this lens. So this guy comes to us and he says, okay, I did it. I'm a Vancouver Grizzlies stat keeper. And the So there are two groups of people that I think benefited the most. One group was, of course, the Vancouver Grizzlies. And so Sharif Abdul-Rahim had his stats boosted. I mean, you go down the list and it's, well, I think it's that era, but let me give you the thinking, right? This is an expansion team. The Grizzlies were just founded. And so he said even when he gave Van Exel the 23 assists, and this is the opposing player, what he was told by his bosses within the Grizzlies was, great job. That makes it more likely that we're going to be on SportsCenter, right? So the team, the logo, the very basic fact that these Grizzlies existed, they just wanted any kind of exposure because an expansion team needed to advertise itself. And so that's the level of thirst that people had in the 90s for just getting any sort of television attention, which, again, I don't know, when you guys played in Canada, when you were playing the Grizzlies or the Raptors, if you noticed anything fishy, but you go to the stats and the Raptors, another expansion team, huge, enormous discrepancy between home and road splits when it came to those stats being interpreted. Canada was one of the big beneficiaries of the stat inflation of the 90s.
just the whole country.
The whole country. The exchange rate was wild. Yes.
I'm not mad at it. Another one that you just did something recently. You gave your brutally honest review of athletes and alcohol. You know, Jack and I and our team are about to drop a mezcal soon, so we were kind of interested to hear your breakdown, your reasons why. But you know, some of the athletes you reviewed were Steph's bourbon, Harden's wine, LeBron's tequila, MJ's tequila. Take us into that and what you found.
Okay, I have questions for you too about this, because I'm going to have to disclose when I taste test your mezcal that I'm compromised by being in the same corporate family. So I'm glad we're getting this out of the way.
Hey, the rest of the world is always compromised somewhere or another, so it finally works in our favor. We'll go with it.
For real. But it's funny. So I'll center on Michael Jordan here, because I can bridge the two episodes that we're describing. So one episode is about stat inflation. The other one is about me and Katie Nolan and an alcohol expert named Jason Wilson just reviewing, actually, are these athlete alcohols any good, right? And I would say that the biggest beneficiary, actually, of both stat inflation and alcohol review inflation is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And I'm gonna connect these two dots, right? So Michael Jordan, you look at his DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year stat from 87-88, enormous home road discrepancy. He had 165 steals at home, 84 blocks, okay? Away, 94 steals, 47 blocks. So just a crazy discrepancy in terms of just Michael Jordan's defensive stats from the year that he is now hailed as like Best Defensive Player of the Year. LeBron could never because he doesn't have a Defensive Player of the Year award. Michael Jordan benefited in our analysis from the home cooking. Okay, so just
crazy.
How does that make you guys feel before I get to then getting to his tequila? Because that one was a big bomb for me.
I didn't even hear it. I didn't even pay no attention.
I mean, like I said, I like I said, it's dope that you guys, you know, were able to bring that inflation to life. But I just kind of always felt like it. You know, I would see stuff, and obviously looking back now and thinking about this, I mean, I would see, I'm just like, damn, I don't recall all those, you know, I don't recall all that. I don't call all these steals. I don't recall that, you know, he had that many blocks. You know what I mean? And you think about it, because no matter what right. You say, a lot, but 98% of the players look at the stat sheet at halftime and after the game. You know what I mean? So when you sometimes you do see some weird shit on, they're like, oh, okay. So, but like Jack said, I mean, it's still MJ. But yeah, the discrepancy, the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie.
It's just very conspicuous. And I grew up, I should say, I grew up a Jordan stan. You know, I'm a child of the 90s, even though I'm from New York. So I worshipped at his altar, right? And so I'll take us to the tequila now, because I thought his shit was trash. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You ain't got to apologize for that.
Pablo Torre of Meadowlark, send your questions and your hate mail to him. No, I'm playing.
That's right. I mean, I'll take it. I'm already at war with various members of the Jordan family because of this Larsa Pippen, Marcus Jordan episode we did, which was not received warmly by the estate. But yo, this tequila, man, it's like $110-something. And look, I'm not a professional alcohol critic. It just wasn't good. It didn't taste like what I thought tequila would taste like. It felt like it was trying to be very smooth. It felt like it was trying to be, you know, when you can tell something's trying to be expensive, but it's like just, it just feels like synthetic in that way. It doesn't feel authentic. I don't know. I want to know how you guys set about trying to figure out how to make a mezcal that feels like you guys, that's not trash. Because I can tell you at the highest level of this alcohol athlete game, there's some shit out there that I was stunned by.
As far as good or bad?
As far as bad. Look, it's just, there are a lot of people who are trying to tell stories about, and again, there's a mythology around athletes, which I think is, of course, part of the branding. But then when it's applied to the alcohol, it's just hard not to like laugh and just be like, but is this any good? And so for me, I was just disappointed that all of this money did not result in better alcohol.
Not for till you didn't find any. You didn't find any that were solid or at least decent.
You know whose shit was good? So LeBron's wasn't bad. LeBron's was pretty good. The Lobos tequila, not bad. I thought among wines, CJ McCollum did a great job. I think he was actually the one who's, I'm not a huge wine guy, but in terms of like the consensus and the reviews, I would say that one deserves the highest grade of all the things we tried.
Oh, wow.
But how did you guys approach the idea of a mezcal then? Because all of this stuff is you know, high
you
pressure
got a lot of people
material
that just want to put somebody's name on it and trying to make money of it and not really worry about how the actual product tastes. That's a big difference. You know, some you can come up with some stuff and just put a big name on it and it might sell. But then you got some people that's organic that really care about the product and that care that you put what you put in their name on. So it's a big difference. So I think we fall in the category of we care what we put our name on. Matt.
Yeah, it took us a while, not to cut you off, Jack. It took us a while. We went down and met with some people in San Diego, and actually we're taking a trip out to Mexico, I think, in April to kind of go see the origin of you know, where all of our stuff came from. But I'm a huge cannabis guy off the rip, you know what I mean? So crossing over into alcohol, I'm a social kind of, if I do drink, it's a social cheers but 9 times out of 10, I'm smoking weed. So our thing
and
with
it's
this
all
is
leaves.
Obviously,
it's still leaves.
The smoky
agave.
Obviously, the smoky part came with all the smoke. You know what I mean? But at the same time, when we started trying, I was just like, that like too much smoke. I wasn't super fan of like smoky. So we took some of the smoke out, and you know, we'll have to let people decide, you know, what they think. I think, you know, everyone has their opinions on it, but I feel like our stuff is best because I wasn't a huge, you know, we thought tequila, you know, do we do dark? And they said
how'd you guys settle on mezcal specifically?
Yeah, the fastest growing spirit is mezcal at the time. You know what I mean? So that's what kind of made us jump in and deter from tequila and the other stuff. But I feel like ours is, and I'm like, again, this is coming from someone who's not a drinking his life. I feel like ours is best when it's mixed, like with like fresh juice. We have three or four different flavors with the juice. Obviously, we have the mezcal by itself, but when it's mixed with like, you know, a little bit of juice, oh man, that shit goes. So it'll be interesting. You know, like you said, you have to be biased now. You have to be biased now when you taste our. You can't come on someone else's show and say it tastes like shit.
The most I was processing Matt. I was processing you talking about how actually too smoky is a problem, which is a jarring thing for me to hear. From the co-host.
Not with rye, not with the whiskey and rye. It needs to be smoky, but not with tequila.
Yeah, tequila family.
And then I was processing Stack's face as he was remembering mixing your mezcal with watermelon. And I was like, this man is... That is what sells your product, is stacking that box right now.
Pablo, what you don't know is we have shows where we'll talk about stuff and I'll just go off into my ponder moments where I just get to put myself into exactly what we're talking about and I just live in it for a second.
Picture
this. Live in it for a second. That's what that was.
How'd you guys, okay, wait. So as a tag team on this project, how do you deal with disagreements of taste? Because I imagine you guys are not, your ponder moments might be different from each other.
You want to work with me, Pablo, because I'm going with the flow type of guy. I don't complain about much. The only thing I complain about is the money being late. Yeah. Everything else that Matt got a million ideas, I'm rocking with him. I don't even have to know what it is. I'm behind him. But when that money late, you got to see me.
Yeah, so I... so basically,
I'm going to tell Levitard that, by the way. That's
for real, right?
Levitard, this fucking money is late.
Yeah,
you got to see Stack, and then behind him somewhere hiding is me. Yeah. But in front of me is Stack.
Right. No, I mean, Jack kind of trusted the team. You know, me and a couple other people went out there and tasted and saw where it came from and tried different kinds and actually learned about the orange and cinnamon at the same time. Because have you ever had orange and cinnamon after a shot of anything?
Oh, man.
No.
Oh, to change your life. Get with it. Orange and cinnamon.
All right.
There it is.
Yeah, we got our little labeling right here. Our
logo.
Yeah,
logo.
So we'll check that
thing,
out. Get you a bottle. Yeah.
So how, coming so soon, how baby. Coming soon. Let me, how would you pronounce that?
Let me
now
see it.
See the spelling.
Anillos?
Anillos.
That double L.
That's
Anillos.
It. That's Anillos. It. Anillos. Anillos. That's it right there, man.
There it is.
Anillos.
So
anyway, we'll get you some of that.
I feel like you got, so this is what I learned. This is what I found out in my alcohol reviewing is that the field's wide, it's wide open, man. Everyone's trying to do it, but like there isn't actually a bunch that's really good. Like Steph's stuff is okay, I guess. It's just, I think really what it is what it's lacking for. And you guys have this like coming out of your pores now, literally, I think. Matt just took a sip. So I think what's coming out of your pores is authenticity and just like, hey, this is how we use it. This is what we're not. This is what we are. And enjoy it like we would enjoy it. As opposed to the mic, again, I don't know, maybe you guys can put a photo of it at some point in the edit on this, if there is an edit, but like the Michael Jordan Sincoro bottle looks like a trophy that you get for winning like an all-star game event. And it's just like, what is this? And so it's promising the greatest tequila you've ever had from the greatest player who's ever lived. And what you get is just like, it let me down. It was like finding out that his stats were inflated.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like that, to be perfectly honest with you guys.
I think it's a fine line between quality and not taking yourself too serious, because this is not really any of our space.
So, I mean, so listen, the self-seriousness, which you guys do not have about your shit, about your products, about your brand and selves, like that's the thing. It's really hard to, I guess, look, enter a business that you're not in the case of alcohol for all these guys, it's not their thing. And so they go into it like, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to compete in this like it was. And it's
super
just like,
serious.
Guys, you know, Michael Jordan has many anillos, right? Many rings, but not in this field. Not in this field.
Not in
this
field. Nope. No. Nope. You can't be good at everything.
Hey, so,
and it's okay. It's okay.
So back. Yeah, absolutely. He's got a lot of wins.
Yes, he does.
He's got a lot of wins.
Yes, he does. He's a lot of blocks that he didn't necessarily earn, but also a lot of wins that he did. I'm getting so much troubled by the Jordan.
How do you guys, you know, figure out what story? Because I'm sure you get a ton of stories. How do you guys figure out what stories to actually you know, go down the rabbit hole on and bring to life.
Yeah, my curiosity, man. Like, I'm a curious person. So I didn't play sports at any high level in any way. Like, let's be real about who I am, what I can and cannot do. But what I am is a guy who is super curious about the way the world works. And so when someone says to me, that's right. If only I went to high school with LeBron James. I love Brian, by the way. But Brian is a biographer who also has other talents as a reporter, and he's a great storyteller. But I came into this, I didn't have a personal story like that. And so I'm just the guy who tells stories and uses journalism to report them. And so for me, what I want to do is always like, Tony Kornheiser taught me this, because I do PTI sometimes. And, you know, the thing I want to be is just smart and funny, you know, like make people laugh, don't take yourself too seriously. Like, so it's just as simple as that. But my whole goal is like, if you listen to an episode, so I'll mention this, I'll go back to the Jordan well for a second here, because I referred to this, right? So I did a story about Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen. What do you guys know about Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen when I mention their names to you?
That they were dating. That's about it.
And it's Jordan's son dating Pippen's ex-wife.
Yep. And so for me, it was this reality television relationship, and I wanted to find out, like, what's going on here? Is this real? Is this love? What's going on? And so I interviewed Marcus and Larsa together, and we had a conversation. That was great. And they sat down, and we sort of put in the context of their lives. And that was an example of an episode where I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. This is like reality television show trash on the one hand, but also two real people who hadn't been like actually interviewed in this way. Like, what if I took them seriously was the question I asked myself. Mm-hmm. And they were great. And the only problem was that in the New York Post afterwards, there was a headline in which Larsa Pippen called me miserable. And so outside of that, I'm on good terms with these people.
Called you?
Yeah. I should say I'm in various. You've aligned yourselves with a very dangerous person, it turns out.
I was about to say, you got a lot of beefs out there. You might have to have bodyguards when you come out here.
You know what's funny about, you asked me a question that had nothing to do with my answer. You asked me how I choose story ideas. It turns out I choose story ideas in order to one day talk to two guys who lead the league actually in beef and try to outdo them by mentioning all the people who hate them.
Lead the league in beef?
Oh, you're smoked. Well, man, we appreciate you jumping, giving us some of your time today. Definitely looking forward to continuing to collab with you guys and Dan and the whole Metal Arc family and continuing to grow our side. And it's definitely a pleasure to be working with you.
Yeah,
again,
man,
bro.
I got two things at the very end here. Number one is 420 week. I have ideas. I have ideas for us. Okay, just the tease. The second thing is. A message to Dan Le Batard. I want to beef with him for a second. Our money better be fucking on time, Dan.
There you go.
It better be on fucking time.
Have that signed by Stephen Jack. It's coming from you,
That's right. It's signed by Stack.
Big five. Hey, that's Jack's guy now, too. Jack's been going flying out to Miami, spending time with them. They've been
Did you guys know? I am the officiant of Dan Le Batard's wedding. I married him and Valerie. I was the priest at that wedding. Oh, I love Dan. I love his love.
Versatile.
All I'm saying is that his money better be fucking on time.
That's it. You can love a lot of shit and fuck up. The one thing you can fuck up is the money that fucks all the other good things up.
God damn. That's true.
All right, Pablo, man. Thank you for your time today, and we'll catch up with
you again, guys.
Bro.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, that's a wrap. Thank you to our guest, Pablo. Jack, congratulations again on the Oak Hill stuff. You can catch this on All the Smoke Productions YouTube and the DraftKings Network. We'll see y'all next week.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.